What's up, everybody? Dre Pale here on behalf of HamiltonMusician.com. Here with a very special guest. This dude's been doing this stuff for a long time. He's always cooking up something new. On the line is my homie, Toidle. How's it going, man?
Hey, buddy. How's it going, man? Thank you for having me. Everything's going well.
Awesome, bro. It's exciting to talk to you. First things first, I don't think I formally ever said congrats on the success of Fool, man. It's a good tune.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. It's weird, man. That song came out of nowhere. I remember just sitting, waiting for my girlfriend, Carly, just, like, in the parking lot of her work. And I was just jamming out to a track that a producer sent me, and I just wrote the hook in the car, and it just kind of, like, took off from there, bro. So to see the success and the reaction from everybody, it's, like really, really surreal for me. So I really appreciate that, man.
Yeah, man. Like, can you tell me a bit about the actual process, like, whether it's the recording process, or is there a story to the kind of lyrical content of the song?
For this song in particular, it was kind of just me taking a step back and trying to write a scenario that kind of everybody could kind of relate to within relationships, where, like, you know, like, people always, like, step into something like kind of feeling vulnerable, you know, and they kind of ask their partner, like, don't make a fool of me, you know. So it stems from personal, like, experiences, but at the same time, I didn't want to be too personal, you know what I mean, for this song in particular.
Cause yeah, man.
I'm kind of like, I found throughout, like, my artistic journey, like, I tend to save my more personal music for my album songs, like the, like, six and number sixes and number sevens of the album, as opposed to the singles, you know?
Yeah, man, totally. And I definitely think the whole Fool concept is really relatable with my personal experience as well. So I think that's why people really clung to it. It's got a huge amount of you, so I think people agree with you.
That's awesome to hear, man, because, like, I kind of wanted to take, like, a different approach as opposed to, like, the sad way. You know, I kind of want to make it, like, kind of, like, the vulnerability is fun and, like, exciting. But at the same time, you don't want someone to make a fool of you. I just wanted people to be able to dance but relate at the same time.
Totally,
so glad it worked out.
Yeah, man. What about working with Higher Rain and Lucky Rose? How was that experience? And what about your experience on stage in Montreal, too? Tell me about that.
Oh, man. Higher Rain is the best. What started is just, like, a random email they sent me from a cover they saw of mine, like, from, like, way back in the day. They took me kind of just under their wing, and we just went there, and Stevie from Higher Rain, he was so, like, generous. He let me stay in his house. And we were supposed to only do one song, and we actually ended up doing four songs in 2 or 3 days. And they just really took care of it, you know. They really took the energy and a lot of the financial burdens off myself, you know, which is great as an artist, you know. Like, I can't even, like, account for the thousands of dollars I spent, like, prior to for production. So they really took that off my shoulders. And Lucky Rose is probably one of the best producers I've ever worked with. Like, so it's just unreal that they have that access, like, to that caliber of artists in their label. It's really insane. So I've only had good experiences with Higher Rain. And like you said, they got me on stage at Festival d'Été de Québec. And, bro, like, every time I talk about it, I, like, get, like, all, like, shaky and flustered, because it was, like, literally just, like, out of this world, like, literally, like, performing on that stage in front of that many people with all those crazy artists, bro, is just out of this world, man. Like, it literally was, like, you felt like you were, I felt like I was a part of the, you know, that caliber of artists, like Cascade and Adventure Club. It was unbelievable, man, literally.
Yeah, man. I saw so many photos and videos, and I was like, "Damn, that looks insane." So I can only imagine.
Oh, bro, it was insane. Like, they really took care of every artist to make sure that that they were perfectly comfortable, and it was all around just a 10 out of 10 experience for me. Like, I'll never forget it for sure.
Now, you're going to be a part of the Higher Range Showcase at Canadian Music Week. What do you look forward to most at Canadian Music Week? Are you a big going to the conferences guy, or is it more for the show and going there for the people and just kind of networking?
Yeah, dude, I'm really excited about this Canadian Music Week. This is my second time playing, so this one's going to be a little different. I'm really excited to perform, but on the other hand, I've actually been like promoted within the label to A&R. So I'm actually going to all the conferences as a representative of the record label. So that's really new and exciting for me, and I'm really like looking forward to like trying to grasp that whole business aspect of this like business. You know what I mean? Like I never, only till recently have I been doing that, and it's really exciting, and I'm really intrigued by it. You know? Of course, the performance part is nothing really like new to me, but I'm always excited for that. But this part in general, like the business aspect, has really opened my eyes to a lot of things creatively and business-wise, you know what I mean?
Is there an exact date and time for your specific performance yet?
Yeah, I play at the Drake Underground at, I believe my set is at 9:40, and it's on April 18th.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. I got a great, great band put together with, and I think you know Mason.
I literally just talked to Mason. He did like a promo for Yoga Fest, so we just did an interview with Mason.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Mason is Mason's a part of the band, and he's really instrumental in it. And bro, it's really tight, man. I'm really, really looking forward to the performance.
Awesome, man. Now you grew up in Hamilton. You've been a part of like the local scene for a while. What would you say is, what have you taken most from the city about music, and how has it kind of influenced you as an artist?
Honestly, it's weird to say, man, but I've learned mostly through my failures in this city, or what I think is my failures. Like, this is a really hard city to sell in pop, right? And so for me to learn what I've done wrong through the years is where I've really grown. And for up-and-coming artists, that's what I have to say in Hamilton is, like, learn from your failures or whatever you perceive are your failures, because they really help you grow, especially in this city, man. Like, it's a very alternative, indie-driven city musically. And so for a top 40 pop-driven artist, you know, in that genre, in that realm, it's really hard to gain attention. So for me, that was the biggest obstacle, and it's been the biggest learning curve and the best learning curve for me personally.
Do you have any ideas of, like, how things can be adapted, how we can change that?
Honestly, man, that's a question I ask myself every day, and I feel like it just comes down to, like, what you're doing yourself is connecting with people. And, like, the more that people see that music and artists aren't just, like, you know, jukeboxes that just throw up music on the radio, that they're creators and they have, like, something to say as people as well, so that they can get behind their message, not just their song. It's just, like, sometimes there's a misconception with pop artists, and I don't think that's necessarily true for all the cases. So I feel like if people just give pop a chance in Hamilton, you know? Maybe just give pop a chance. Like,
yeah, we should start the movement. We should make the Give Pop a Chance song.
Give Pop a Chance movement. We'll get T-shirts.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. No, honestly, man, but it is a great city for music, though. Like, there's always music to be heard. There's always good music to be found. Like, that's what I like about Hamilton. Like,
totally,
I really like that roots and alternative music, too. So I really appreciate that aspect of Hamilton.
Yeah, man. And I think, you know what, incorporating these different vibes that we know Hamilton loves into the pop music, I think that's got to be the key to at least getting some more of an audience and bringing them towards a new genre to dip into.
That's a good idea, too, man, for sure.
Tell me about, I always like to ask people what they define success as, because it's such a subjective thing, and I mean, some people need to feel certain things, some people need fancy cars and watches. Everyone needs something different. So I'm curious what Toyota, what is your definition of success?
Yeah, dude, this is a really profound question, like, to me, to be honest. Like, I come from, like, a, as you know, like, a really immigrant family, Portuguese, like, European art style, and their definition of success is, you know, financial comfortability and stability and whatnot, and they don't understand that sometimes it takes time to build a business and a brand. For me, each success, like, success is defined by how I feel. I can't. To me, I'm successful. Like, if I measure my success personally with money, I'll never have enough. But if I feel good and I get money, then that's just a bonus. But to me, happiness is success. That's always, like, how I've looked at it. Like, I felt successful with $0 in my bank account. So that's it. That says it all to me. I don't need $1 million or a Ferrari to be successful. Each success I have, I take it as if it was my last. So even if it's playing at the Casbah and I sell like 80 tickets, that's a huge success for me. You know, that's I don't need to sell out the ACC to feel like I'm making my mark in the industry. You know.
Yeah, man, I think chasing numbers, you'll always lose. I feel the exact same way. I mean, I feel like I could sell 1 million copies and I'd be like, oh, wow, I need to sell 10 million copies. Like,
exactly. It's just like an ever-growing staircase, bro. Like, like I always say to, like, my friends, like, if you're chasing numbers, like, numbers are infinite. You'll never reach the end.
Yeah, and so, it's addictive as hell. Like,
exactly, bro. So chase the feeling. That's usually
exactly.
What I go by. Whatever feels right, bro. Like, if it works, it works. But like I said, I learn a lot through my failures too. So there's always a silver lining, you know.
Before we go, I'm really curious. When are we going to hear something new from Toyota? When's the newest release? Am I going to get a leak out of you for an interview?
Bro. I got a lot of stuff in the works. I recently just signed to a publishing company in Canada called Blocknote. So I'm actually releasing stuff. All that, like, I've already released music. It's not me singing per se, but like I'm releasing stuff as a songwriter all the time. Like I just produced Carly's next single, When the Lights Go Out. So that's going to be released soon. I wrote that. I also have this song with a DJ from the UK that I'm actually on. It's called Coma. It should be. I don't know. I don't have a date for that. But, like, bro, I've been waiting for so long because my songs have been through the ringer, man, bounced from producer to producer to producer. So it's been a frustrating process for me in the last little bit. But I have so many songs. I have an album ready to go. But it's just a matter of getting the correct mixes and, you know, getting the right dates to release and everything. The stars have to be aligned now that you know what I mean? It's different when it's a lot more complicated when there's a bigger team, you know. So there's a lot of moving parts and everybody has to give their okay and put their 2 cents in, you know. So it's a little more time consuming now. I really Numb should be out soon. Like we're aiming for Numb, I think, in about April or May, but only time will tell, my man.
Awesome, man. Well, I see you working hard. I always see you posting new stuff. I see you live in the studio. So when you finally give birth to everything, I'm really looking forward to listening to it.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's been a long time coming, and really grateful to have your support, buddy.
And absolutely, man. Anytime you guys release something, let me know. I'm happy to share it.
For sure, buddy. I appreciate your time, dude. Thanks for having me on your show, man. It's
I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're working on some vocals there, so thanks for taking a minute out of that.
Yeah, no worries, buddy. Anytime.
And I will make sure that anyone listening to this follows you on social media. Tell me your at one more time.
It's just at Toyota Music, so super simple.
Awesome, man. And I look forward to running into you at Canadian Music Week. I will be there. And I'll do my best to make it up to the show, but if not, let's catch one of the conferences together and chat.
Absolutely, buddy. Sounds like a plan to me.
Have a good one, man.
All right. Peace and love, buddy.